Hello, hello, hello. I am back. It is I, Dumelang, Dumelang Claire. I'm so sorry about last week. I was ill, guys. I was so sick. What had happened is that the past like 5 weeks in jail, I've just been battling with a lingering type of flu. You get a bit of flu, your throat is sore, your nose is blocked, and then you take over-the-counter medication, and then it clears for like a day or two or a week, and then it's back, and then kanjalo, and then I'm back and forth, and I'm busy, and I'm not slowing down, and I maintain the routine that I'm maintaining. And eventually, last week, is it last? Yeah, 2 weeks ago, or is, I don't know, but basically about my 10 days ago, I woke up with the most aggressive type of flu. And it was aggressive in a sense that I woke up in the morning and I was fine. I was just going about my day. And then just after about 12, I had sneezing fits. Like I was sneezing. Like, do you know sneezing fits? Have you ever had that type of flu where you will sneeze like 10 times in a minute? Like, and like the sneeze that just makes you dizzy, Hanyan. And then from there, it was a headache, and then body pains, and then sore throat, all in a space of about an hour or two. And I obviously sent plus one, go to the chemist, get Coranza C or something. I can't afford to be sick. He got me whatever he got me. I think I slept okay, but the next day, oh my word, I had this so the most painful throat ever. Becky, ignore Rahab as usual, over the counter. No, get Advil CA, get this, get that, get Benylin for flu. Those things work better for me. He got those and it didn't, it cleared a little bit. And then the next week, ah, oh, no, I was shaking. I don't know if you've ever had that sense of when you're standing, like you're just standing on your 2 feet, you're in the kitchen or somewhere. But then there's the shakes in your stomach. You're feeling shaky. Your body's just weird. You just have a general sense of just being unwell. And plus one is like, go to the doctor. Go to the doctor. And now I don't generally listen to plus one, because, I just don't. Then I went to a doctor. No, I listened to my pharmacist friend, Lele too. I have a friend here in at Clicks. She's a pharmacist, good friend of ours. It's like, Hamba, go to a doctor. I went to a doctor, and it turns out, yes, it's flu, but it's combined. When I, told her the symptoms, and she was just asking me what's been happening around, and I gave her just a brief background of my year, and it's like, dude, you are tired. You are exhausted. This is exhaustion. This is like first signs of burnout. So do not work. Do not do anything that is mentally intensive. Do not, and besides, I didn't have a voice anyway. My voice always, I can only flu voice yakayacha, laryngitis. And she's like, rest your voice, rest your mind, rest your body. Just rest. Which is a problem for me, but I'm getting better. I mean, resting and relaxing is like the most difficult things for me. When I was in Thailand, Lebo Vangile for Vangile's retreat, when we were doing yoga every morning, the most difficult position for me, the most difficult asana is the pose, is the yoga pose, was Shavasana. Shavasana is lying like a corpse. It was the most painful and the most uncomfortable. I can do it now. I can do Shavasana. I mean, I enjoy it now because I'm getting there. But it's a long process to get to a mode where I am resting. I battle to rest, and I don't think I'm the only one. And yeah, it's that guilt that comes with not doing anything. I feel very bad when I'm just sitting and potatoing, and just being a couch potato. The only time that I couch potato and I feel like, okay, I deserve, it's on a Saturday or on a Sunday. Then I feel like, okay, it's a weekend. But on a Monday, excuse me, I still have lingerings of this phlegm and this illness that I had. But on just all of a Tuesday, kidutiko beteng. No, guys. But I'm getting there because it's part of self-care, just looking after yourself. it's one thing to be off social media, at least that one I can do, where I'm just like, I'm not going to be on Facebook for a few hours or for a day or two. But just because I'm not on social media doesn't mean I'm not working. I'm always on the laptop, writing something, thinking about something, reading something. And the doctor said, just take it easy. Don't do anything that requires you to think and all that. So I took doctor's orders because I was ill, man. I wasn't okay. I started feeling better. I'm recording this. Excuse me again. I'm recording this on a Friday. It's a Friday mid-morning. I just came back from a hike. You see, that's how much better I am. I took a walk down up a little hill that I always go to. I go to that hill when it calls me, and I go to that hill when I really need a good walk, you know, as part of my exercise. I do a lot of yoga, but you also want your heart rate, you know, to just think. And I don't like to run, so I just walk, and I walk very fast. So it's a Friday mid, towards 12. And why was I telling you about, I'm recording on a Friday? Why? Oh my God. And I'm going to listen to this recording and I'll see the connection and I'll be like, gosh, you're so dumb. Anyway, I am here. I am back. And I want to say, welcome to the new followers. There's quite a number of you. Yeah, this is a nice number of you that just joined recently, which again surprises me when I gain followers when I haven't podcasted. It seems to be a trend. Whenever I'm off, I get more followers. I wonder if it's because people have time to like sit and listen, because, you know, we skipped a week. So you listen to old podcasts and then you share with your friends, or you re-listen to something and then you send it to your colleague and then the colleague clicks follow. So welcome. Welcome to all 8 of you that just joined recently. My name is Lebubule. The podcast is called Stretch with Lebubule, which is also the name of my online school called Stretch with Lebubule. Why stretch? Because it is better than wake up. Oh my God, I need to stop saying that. I need to find another line. But anyway, stretching for me is that act of, it's a conscious act. When you stretch, you are very conscious, unlike being woken up. You know, when someone wakes you up in deep sleep, it's always like kind of a shock. And that's why people, when you wake people up, they get all upset and weird with you and go back and pull their blankets back. But when I say to you, okay, let's stretch. So you stretch your arm, or you stretch on, you try and do a split, or you try and reach your feet. Let's say I'm saying like just bend and then reach your feet. You know, you can feel that, okay, I can push further. I can stretch further. So it's a conscious act. So when I say stretch with me, I want to stretch your mind and your heart and your soul and hopefully your body as well, because, you know, it will get there. You'll find yourself wanting to do yoga, wanting to exercise, because it's a holistic teaching that I teach. And as you have come to know, because I know for a fact that you have binged on some of the episodes, you have an idea of the kind of stuff I'm about, right? You do. Anyway, enough rambling about being back. I decided I want to do the episode on relationships again. Relationships part 3. You didn't think I forgot, right? No, I didn't forget. I just didn't have the right timing. The last time I was podcasting, I was in Joburg. And then I had to do a special 100th episode. And then Xolani Gwala died. And then I couldn't just do, relationships when Xolani Gwala died. And it's funny about Xolani Gwala, you know, I think about him almost daily. Like there's never a day where I don't think about him, especially in the mornings, you know, when you open the news and you listen to talk radio, and it becomes very glaring that Hasali Yomotu, you know. So Xolani Gwala died, I had to do that episode, and then I got ill last week, and then now here we are, and I want to do episode 3 on relationships. And I'm going to probably be all over the place, but there's certain things I want you to take away about what a relationship should be, as opposed to what we make a relationship be, as opposed to the rich and broke Logan of the Bold and the Beautiful, as opposed to the things that we see in the movies. I want you to, when we end this episode, you leave with having a grasp of what a relationship really is about, and how you should approach your relationships going forward. If you are single now, some of the things you need to be thinking about for your next relationship, and yeah, just to be a little sober about it. Because if you think about relationships, Wena, you find that the relationships that work well are not the ones that externally they are all so lovey-dovey and so Instagram-like. You find that they are very, very practical. You know, a relationship is very practical, which is why you need to be very, very clear about why is it that you are getting into a relationship. Oh, have I gotten into the episode already? Yeah, I have gotten. But let me quickly say, Stretch with Lebopule class of 2020 is open. We are done with the induction, but obviously when you join the group, content is there. You can always check the induction and read about it. But it would be very, very nice to have more of you join. I'm currently sitting with about 170 students. It would be nice to have more. It would really be nice to have more. I've taken the fees out. I still don't feel comfortable saying them like this, online like this. If you want to know, if you don't want to go via the group first, but you want to understand what the subjects I cover and how much it is, simply send an email to info@stretchwithlebopule.co.za. Tuli is always ready, eager, and waiting for your emails. It would be lovely to see you in the group, because going forward, my episodes will also include a lot of the things that we do in the group. So it would be nice if you're part of it. But if you don't want to be part of it and you're really not interested, it's also okay. You can stay here on the podcast, and we can meet wherever we meet. When you're ready, you'll join me. When you are not ready or never meant to be part of Stretch, that is also okay, my friends. So don't feel anything. Don't feel pressured or bad or whatever. I just personally think that you are missing out. That's all. That's all. And that's where I'm going to leave it. Okay. So the big thing I want you to take out of this episode is, like I said, how you approach relationships need to drastically change. You need to approach relationships from a very, very, and I don't mean to be boring. Practical is not boring. Practical means you have to understand what it is that you are after. A lot of us get into relationships without even a clue of what it is that we want. And guess what happens? Because the universe is very clever. The universe will then create a relationship that is just directionless. A relationship that you don't know whether you're coming or going. A relationship where someone is pulling this direction and you are pulling that direction. A relationship where someone doesn't even know who you are. You know, a lot of relationships happen where people would be in a relationship for 2-3 years, but they don't know who they are. They don't know each other at all. But then they claim to be in a relationship because they approached a relationship from the surface, quote, like surface level, where it's about external things. It's about the fact that he's tall. Believe it or not, people put that as a criteria. Like, I want a tall guy, or I want a guy with a big dick. Yeah, sorry, I said it. Or I want a short woman. I mean, I had a friend who was a colleague of mine. It was a colleague turned friend, as usual. People who meet me end up being my friend. And he was married. And he kept saying to me, you know, like, if I wasn't married, you'd be my girl. And I'd date you. And I'm like, yeah, really? Yeah, why? It's like, and he always said, because you are short. So people enter relationships with such superficial things, or things like, he's pretty, he's handsome, she's pretty. And don't get me wrong, those things obviously have their space. It's nice to work with someone who is appealing to the eye. It's nice to work with someone who you idolize, you know, like, yeah, he's tall, handsome, and he's big, he's a big guy. You know, there's this syndrome that we have as women that we want to be seen with taller guys or bigger guys. And it has a lot to do with socialization and a little bit of patriarchy, but also femininity. At the core of it, it has to do with hormones, such that at our animalistic instinct always thinks about reproduction. Like, for an example, if you're drawn sexually to a particular guy, it's really not you, it's the hormones, it's your animalistic nature that says, with this guy I can produce healthy, strong human beings. So that's why it is possible for you to be drawn to someone sexually and not necessarily end up in a good relationship with. So you find that some of us, we enter into relationships with someone because we were drawn sexually to them, but in terms of creating a relationship that works, a relationship that can last, a relationship that can grow us spiritually, emotionally, and otherwise, that is not the person. But sexually, we are compatible. Exactly. Thank you. If you are nodding and saying, this is complex, it is very, very complex. Which brings me to sex. I think the last time I said that I'll go to sex, you know, that episode that was not very clear, where I was sounding very, very soft. Sex, very interestingly, is part of a relationship, but it's not, it doesn't lead to good relationships. So sex is independent of relationship. Do you know what I mean? You can have incredible sexual chemistry with somebody without necessarily wanting to be part of their lives forever and ever. Amen. Why? It's a mystery, because we are at the core of ourselves. We are animals. We are part of nature. We are part of the species that make up the species that are on Earth. So we are animals at the core of us. If you look, and I hate using animal kingdom because they have a different social system, but let me use it because we are part of it. If you look at the animals, you find that sex is basically used for mating. There are very few animals where sex is also just part of pleasure and part of you know, a way of being and something that they can do and have with one partner anytime that they feel like. There are very few, and I don't want to say what they are because I might be wrong. I'm just saying this because it's coming at the top of my head. And you find that they mate to do what? So that they can reproduce, and then they go their separate ways. Snakes come to mind because I watch a lot of snakes on National Geographic Wild. And human beings are amongst the few, because I know we are not the only one, that use sex for reproduction and for pleasure. And you find that the people that you enjoy sex with for pleasure would not necessarily make the best mate for being a father to your children. For an example, if your approach to relationships is, I want a good family, I want to pass on great values, I want to build strong families, because as a black nation, we are crumbling, we don't have strong family things and whatnot. So you have to be very careful how you then approach a partner or someone that you want to marry. It has to be beyond sex. Do you know what I mean? I read a tweet, I laughed and laughed and laughed. Anyone who follows me on Twitter, if you read my bio there on Twitter, I do say, I'm a student of life, I'm a teacher, author, blah, blah, blah. And then at the last sentence is, I don't tweet much. I come to Twitter to laugh. So I retweeted this thing, and I retweeted it with lots and lots of laughter. And the tweet read as follows. You can go to my Twitter and you'll see I retweeted it. And it says something like, a big dick. Oh my God, people on Twitter are weird. Also. And I can't read it on my phone because my phone is charging in another room. Something like, a big dick won't raise your children. find yourself a man who's focused or principled or something like that, you won't be horny forever. I think that was the sentence that just killed me, that you won't be horny forever. And you know, she's correct. I mean, it's a young lady, and I retweeted and she liked my retweet, and and it was, we were all having such a good laugh, because I was laughing hard because I was imagining myself in my late 50s, not really as horny as I am in my early 40s and my late 30s, and then I'm sitting with this big dick that actually does not help me with the vision that I want to have of the relationship, but he's got the big dick. So that's what made me laugh. So back to being serious. So a relationship has to be approached like that. Yes, I know the past few episodes I spoke about how a relationship will show you who you are, and how it will show you your wounds, and it will show you where you need to heal, and it will show you the things that you need to work on. Yes, it's all that will happen, but you also have to be conscious about it, right? In as much as your consciousness, let's say you are conscious about the fact that you want a woman or a man who values career goals, you know, a man who will support your career goals, a man who understands that you want to be one of those women who conquer the corporate world, you want to reach CEO level, you want to sit on boards, and that's the man that you are going for. And not only that, you are also actually living that life. So chances are you're gonna meet a guy, obviously, in your area, right? You're gonna meet that guy in corporate circles, in events, and interestingly, in as much as you consciously chose that, the subconscious issues, your childhood dramas, your daddy issues, your mother wounding, the things that you need to grow on, your damsel in distress issues, your rescuer syndrome, all those things will rise up. They will, because they are what? They are part of your healing, they are part of your process, even with the conscious choice. So sometimes you find that there's a contradiction between your conscious choice and the subconscious things. Now, what does that mean when that happens? What it means is that you then really, really need to heal those subconscious things, especially if you are clear that the guy that you are with is the guy that you want. Especially if you are clear. I am friends with Zamamkosi on Facebook and Instagram. We follow each other. I don't know if you know her, but we used to be, I don't know if we were colleagues. I don't think we were colleagues. We used to share office space. She was chairperson of Hardlines. You know Hardlines? It's linked to Soul City at some point. She then also was CEO of, I don't know if she's still CEO of the film and something. this government institution that supports and funds people who want to start short films and series and all that. Yeah, Zama, if you're listening and I'm butchering your position, I'm sorry, my friend. But Zama is celebrating her 10th year anniversary, and I was reading the her Instagram caption of the picture, because she had a picture of her and her husband there, and the caption was, 10 years goes by too quickly. You have to plan ahead for the next decade. And you know, it's a simple sentence, and people might not think much about it, but it's very, very serious. As you enter your relationship, or in your relationship right now, if you want to turn it around, let's say it's a bit sour and you don't know if you guys are going or coming, if you are sitting here and you're thinking, you know what, I want to work on it, you need to be very conscious with your partner and sit down and have a deep, deep conversation about where you actually want to go with this. You need to look at it 10 years from now. Let's say you are in your 40s. I know Zama is 42 or 43, Honamo. So 10 years, she's going to be 53. So you need to think long and hard about, do I want to spend the next 10 years this way? And if the answer is no, you and your partner have a lot of digging up to do. You might actually even have to see a counselor, you know, because sometimes the issues are that deep. sometimes the issues are so deep that you can't just listen to Lebopule's podcast and say, yeah, she said, and then make notes and whatnot. Sometimes you have to actually see a pastor or a marriage counselor or a psychologist so that you can work through your dramas. And I still maintain, like I said in the past episodes of relationships, that you will almost always, in as much as you are conscious of the person you are going to for, it is generally the subconscious that chooses the partner. And the subconscious is our issues. We attract our issues. Remember the stories I shared about the guys I used to attract? And then after I started healing, sometimes healing is not necessarily dealing with it per se. Sometimes healing means awareness. Once you are just aware that, oh, I tend to be a damsel in distress in a relationship. Oh, I tend to want to control people. Oh, I tend to just want to make men my projects. I get into a relationship, fix him up, and then when he's fixed up, I'm no longer happy. I want another project. Oh, I prefer a guy who's already sorted out. No, because, you know, that's also a fact. There are women who prefer men who are sorted. You know, the men that we, I remember when I was a rescuer, the men that we clean up, there's a woman who prefers the cleaned up guy. And the reason that woman prefers the cleaned up guy also has to do with her own childhood issues. It could be that her father was a particular kind of guy, or was that kind of guy, or they have a particular picture based on whatever. But it all kind of happened in their early life. So, you know, your subconscious, you are sitting with your guy and you're still dealing with your subconscious issues, but you are also conscious that I still want a 10-year, I want us 10 years later to be at a particular point. Okay, you know, I've been talking like this, I don't know if it's you could pick it up, but I've been speaking for 26 minutes without once opening my notes. So let me just get on my notes and see what is it that I wrote that I have not touched on. And the reason I was rambling and rambling away like that is because I had rehearsed some of the things I wanted to touch on, so there was no need to go to my notes. So let me see. Yes, approach issue relationship consciously, I covered that. The next relationship has to be better. Okay, that's the second point I want to make. Let's say you are clear that, okay, I am no longer staying here. All the signs, I've done all I can. It's been long. I am getting out of this marriage. I'm getting out of this relationship. The next relationship has to be better. And I say has to, not in a demanding kind of way, but I mean it in a sense that if you healed what you needed to heal, or if your relationship with the current guy has done its job, like it's a completion, because relationships have to be completed. It's like anything in life. If you don't complete a particular relationship, you are bound to repeat it. You know what I mean? Hence the pattern of repeating the same kind of girlfriend over and over. Because when the going gets tough, you prefer to run. You are going to meet Sophie again in a form of Maria, in a different skin tone, in a different body shape. But it's the same issue. So I'm talking here, when I say the next relationship is going to be better, I'm talking to people who are clear in their heads and hearts that they have completed this trial or this cycle of relationships. Let's say, example, let me think of an example. You were the type of woman that was trying to fix your husband. You wanted him to be this way and that way. Uli pizinje, uli sculpture. Uma sculpture. Asaloki. Ubate, ubate, ubizinje. Wamubupa. And then you start over again and you're trying. And then one day you wake up and you're like, I'm done sculpturing this guy. I'm done making him my project. I'm going to leave him be. And then you leave him be. Year one passes, year two passes, year three, year four. After you've left him be, something in your heart says it's time to go. You can't do any more than you've done. You tried fixing him, it didn't work. You tried leaving him alone, it didn't work. It's time for you to go. If you are that person, the next relationship has to be better. basically the next relationship will match where you are at now. Because what it means, especially when you decided to leave them alone, it means you were raising a vibration. And then when you continued being with them while you have left them alone, you were just really reinforcing this new you. You know, this new you of not fixing banna baba kholo, you know, like grown men busy fixing them. And then by the time you woke up one morning and you said, this is it, I'm walking out, your vibrational level had gone high and you were literally a different person. So the next person you will attract will meet you there. So it will be better, and I get it has to be better. That's what I mean. Okay, so look out for those signs. If you are sitting here in the middle of a bitter divorce, or you are at the end of the misery of divorce, because divorce at the end of the day, or any separation, whether it was initiated by you or by the partner or whatnot, it is a very, very painful space. It's a traumatic thing because you're changing everything. It's like uprooting. Imagine uprooting a whole tree. It's hard work. It's gutting. It's, yeah. So if you're at the other side of that guttingness, and then you are ready to meet the next guy, that guy or that lady, I am telling you, you can kiss my bum when you meet me, will be a better relationship. Let's see. And you will approach that relationship obviously differently, because you know what? You know better, and therefore you will do better. The relationship will show you where you are. Yes, I've covered that. Oh yeah, the other thing I wanted to cover before I close, because it looks like this is going to be just, yeah, it's just over 30 minutes, is that relationships, guys, are absolutely paramount to our own personal growth. You can grow, and I did cover this in one of the episodes, you can grow however much you think you have grown on your own. You can travel the world, you can live alone, you can enjoy your own company, you can think you are this, you are that, but it's only through relationships. And I know that not everybody needs relationships, but it is only through relationships where you will be thoroughly, thoroughly tested, where you can test that indeed you are a better person. Because what does a relationship do? Say it with me now. Relationships mirror who you are back to you. Relationship is a whole shadow work, okay? It's like the whole shadow work. If you are part of my students, you do know what shadow work is. So relationship will show you. This is why Apostle Paul, when he wrote to Timothy and to the Corinthians, I think, or one of the congregations that he wrote to. No, I think he wrote to Timothy, where he was saying it is better to be alone, but if you do get into a relationship, okay, let me not butcher verses. I can butcher quotes and other things, but not verses. But essentially, he was talking to the fact that relationships will test you thoroughly. But if you don't want that kind of test, and if your path and your life and your karma and your issues do not require that you are in a relationship, then you won't be. But a lot of us, 90% of humanity requires that we get into relationships in order for us to get into the next level of our growth, in order for us to see who we are. And lastly, I want to say, in case people think that you can only grow by going into the next relationship, you can still grow. You can have a 25-year, 50, 40-year relationship that literally changes every 5 years, that grows and changes every decade. And I mean, you talk to... One day I want to interview like old people who've been married for years and years. But the little that I've seen in clips and YouTube clips and TV and magazines or stuff I've read, most of the people who have gone over 20 years or 30 years of marriage will tell you uncategorically that their partner today has changed tremendously. Literally, this is not the same man that I met. The person has changed for the better. Or they would say things like, at a fundamental level, he's still very much the same, but he's grown tremendously. There are things that used to do the buggers, and they don't bug us anymore. So there's evolution even within one relationship. But some people, their evolution requires a couple of relationships, a few relationships. Like the example I used, I think on part one of Srimati Julie Payette, who married three times. The first husband was abusive, beating her purple and blue. The second husband treated her like a queen. She was a damsel in distress. The second husband rescued her. You know, she was like the Cinderella, you know, who was ill-treated by some people. And then, you know, he was this Prince Charming. And then the third husband, which is the relationship that she's in now, and clearly is the longest so far, is he's her equal. So sometimes it takes a few partners to get to your ultimate guy or your ultimate woman that you will so far slahlane with. Sometimes it's just one guy or one woman where you just go through phases and they're difficult. So it's almost like every couple of years, every seven, let's use the seven because, you know, apparently there's a 7 year itch in every relationship. Every 7 years, it's let's change, which for me, as someone who understands and loves numbers, I know it means, I know what it means. Seven is the soul searching year, and then eight is endings, and nine is healing, and then new beginnings. So I get it. So you find that every 7 years your relationship changes a bit, which is challenging for you because it is calling for you to grow. It is calling for you to change. It is calling for you to be conscious. And then you get those relationships where you basically are there to kill each other. So there are relationships that you grow, and I'm going to assume that Zama Mkosi is that relationship that grows and grows and grows with her husband. And then there are those relationships that just do the opposite, where each year you get worse and worse. You know, those dysfunctional relationship where they are just full of enabling, like your husband is just this loser face that gets drunk and abuses you somehow, but you sort of like it, you know, you enable it. It's just drama after drama. Very, very low vibrating relationships. Yeah, that can also go for years and years until one of the people in the relationship wakes up. And generally, when the other one rises up in consciousness, either they will leave the partner or the partner will also rise. Which is why Joan Sebeza always says, don't try to fix the partner. You work on you. Because if you work on you and you raise your own vibration and you become the person that you want to be, your partner has to follow suit. And if your partner doesn't follow suit, guess what? The partner will fall away. And then you'll find yourself single looking again. Does it make sense, people? Am I making sense? Because I feel like I've been rambling. Why do I feel like I've been rambling? Because I have not been really looking at my notes. And I've been watching a bit of TV lately, quite a bit of TV since I've been so exhausted. And one of the things that was recommended by the doctor was, yeah, just watch mindless TV. Watch things that don't make you think so hard. And yeah, well, good luck with that. Okay, I see I'm getting into the 40th minute, but I wanted to say I've been watching Dinner Date, Married at First Sight. It's an Australian show where people meet on their wedding day. And yeah, maybe next week I'll talk about some of the insights that I found, or some other time, not next week really. And then there's First Dates Australia, and obviously, you know, there's always been The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, The Date My Family. So relationships are such a fascination for human beings, hence we have so many versions of it, and there's so many dating shows. My favorite is Dinner Date, where, you know, they invite this person for a first date, but you cook for them, and then three people come for you. You visit three people, they cook for you, and at the end you have to choose a partner. And I always look at the you know, the notes at the end. These people hardly ever meet. Like Rose and Jack, they exchange numbers and they never met after. Okay, I'm very conscious of the time. I am on 39 minutes and 20 seconds. So approach relationships consciously. Do not just ngena nje because you are horny or because you are lonely, or because you want to escape something, or because you want to look good with this other person, or because you're under pressure. Think about what it is that you want to achieve, what it is that you want to see, and also think about the other person. What do you want to give them? What do you want to offer them? You know, because you bring something as well. And I want to wish you love and all green lights. I'm gunning for 40 minutes because otherwise it's going to cut me. And there we go. It cut me. Love and green lights, my friends.